All other ground is sinking sand. What a blessing we have faith in Jesus Christ. I have a little interesting story or situation that happened to us this week. I just thought I would share it. On Friday, I was at home, and I heard this knocking on the door. And, well, I didn't know it was knocking. I just heard this banging. I just figured, like, I was upstairs, and my wife was making donuts or something. And I just figured it was some banging from downstairs. And suddenly, in the back of my head, I was like, somebody might be knocking. So I went and looked out the window. Oh, there's a game warden. Why is there a game warden at our house? Like, anyway, so you kind of get creeped out. Like, what did I do wrong? And I was like, well, I didn't even shoot anything this year. And we don't even have animals or anything. So anyway, went to check. Here there was someone hit a deer right there, like almost in town. And it was still alive, like almost in the front yard. And he just told us he was going to shoot, basically. So anyway, just the reality that choices have consequences. Go on the road, you get hit. Spiritually, we're here this morning because we believe that our choices make a difference. And that's kind of what I have to share this morning. A new year. This isn't really part of my thoughts, but just because of the time, we often think of changing our calendars, switching years. We look into the past year thinking about where we've come from, how we've made spiritual improvement. Maybe if you're a business owner or something, you think, what did we do last year that worked? What didn't work? What should we implement into the new year? What mistakes should we learn from? And I found a little poem here that goes with this. The day does offer promise, a chance for something new. Time for a new direction to make a change or two. This burst of inspiration does come but once a year, a time for something different and hopes that change is near. How will you use this moment? What will you choose to change? What aspect of your story are you poised to rearrange? In truth, it's just illusion. It's not about the day. It's how you view the future and challenge in your way. So the title I have this morning is, How Far Are You From the Kingdom? And if you turn in your Bibles from Mark chapter 12, you'll see where I get this title from. It's the response Jesus gave to a scribe when he asked Jesus what the greatest commandment is. Jesus responded to that. Then the scribe responded back, and then this is what Jesus told him. Just before this, the Sadducees were questioning Jesus out about an issue, and the way Jesus responded in wisdom, the scribe noticed that Jesus responded wisely and apparently wanted to ask Jesus a question himself or maybe just talk to him or something. So in verse 29 of chapter 12 in Mark, we'll begin reading. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, let's start in verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandments greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. Now you might be thinking, what does it mean to be not far? And that's not really the point. Is you could say maybe he doesn't receive the kingdom in this life, or maybe this scribe, maybe he said the right things, and because Jesus could see the heart, maybe he wasn't actually living so well. But we see in this response, Jesus had his approval for the scribe. He was different than the rest, or at least what he said. If we look at some other situations in this chapter, there's one just before and one after, where the people were living differently, and Jesus' response to that was drastically different. Just before this, when the Sadducees were questioning Jesus out, first of all, they did not believe in the resurrection, and they asked him about, I don't know if they made this situation up or if it actually happened, but there was a woman that her husband, she had seven different husbands, and they each died, and they asked him, who is she going to have in heaven or after the resurrection? And if we read in verse 24, And Jesus answering said unto them, Do ye not therefore err? Because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God. For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, they that rise have ye not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err. So here we have quite a different response to the end of the conversation. Jesus is saying they are erring. Why were they erring? If we back up to verse 24, Jesus says it's because they do not know the scriptures. They don't know what it says. And obviously, they don't know the power of God. If we turn over to, in the same chapter, to verse 38, here's the more what we know about the scribes. This first scribe seemed to be a little more upright, but here are more scribes that were, you know, they're associated, but their lives are drastically different. Jesus was just talking to the common people here, warning them, and in verse 38 he says, And he said unto them in his doctrine, Beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. What a big difference of a response, again, compared to the first. What were the differences between these scribes and the first scribes? Well, here it says they love all these things that bring attention to themselves. Chief seats in the synagogues. They want to be the stuff. They like the uppermost rooms in the feast. You picture almost where you're served first. Which devour widows' houses. I would think that if you're sitting in the chief seats in the synagogues, you're most responsible to take care of the needs among your congregation. And here, they're taking advantage of the needs among them, using them for their own gain rather than giving of themselves. What a difference between that and where the first scribe just quoted, or he responded to what Jesus said about the greatest commandment, about loving God first, which is demonstrated by loving others as ourselves. God is on the throne, one God, not us. God wants our heart more than anything we have in things or any other thing we have to offer. If we turn to a story in 1 Samuel, which we know quite well, but is quite interesting. Here is an Old Testament story of how King Saul disobeyed God. He disobeyed what Samuel had to say, the prophet there. And he was supposed to take the king of Amalek out. And I think he was supposed to destroy all the people. And they were not supposed to take any of the spoil for themselves. And they were pretty much supposed to wipe the nation out, I believe. But King Saul did not do what he was supposed to. And when he saw he was losing, you know, they kept some of the spoil for themselves. And Samuel disobeyed Saul. Saul disobeyed Samuel and went ahead and offered a sacrifice. And when Samuel came and saw what he had done, he had quite the rebuke for him. And he lost his kingship then sometime later. In verse 22 of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 15, Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." I have another verse in the book of James. I'll just read this one. James chapter 2, verse 5, he says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him?" Here we have the heirs of the kingdom. How close are we? Do we love God? Are we rich in the things of this world, or are we rich in faith? I just have a few of my favorite verses I would like to read from the book of Micah that goes very well with this. Micah 6:6, and a couple verses. "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God?" Where are you this morning? Do you love the Lord? Are you close to the kingdom? God bless.